Hey, we're Ginger and Jeremy Volo. Welcome to the Hope We Hold podcast,
where we have weekly conversations around our family table to share the hope of Jesus.
Well, today we want to talk about our childhoods and specifically what our parents did to make them enjoyable.
Yeah, and ultimately how the culture of a home ought to reflect the evidence of a changed life. And to do so, we are going to hang out with Ben and Jessa Seawald and chat about some things they've done and are doing to make their home one that their kids really enjoy being in.
Yes, and we are so excited. And really, Ben and Jessa are the reason that we're together.
Yeah, their matchmaking skills set us
up. Pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, so we have a lot to owe them and a lot to talk about. But before we dive in, just a couple of things. First, we are so helped by your feedback, so please continue to rate and review the podcast. And second, if you want to share your hope story on social media, which we may be able to share on the podcast, then tag @HopeWeHold and hashtag our hope story.
Or you can send your comments, suggestions, or your hope stories into contact@HopeWeHold.com.
So, babe, have you enjoyed doing the podcast so far?
Yeah, I definitely wondered how it would be before we started. And I never could have done anything like, I've never done anything like this before, like in my life. And so I know you're used to talking every week as a pastor to an audience, but it's not so much a part of my weekly routine. And so it's been fun and enjoyable just to get used to that. Yeah. And it's allowed us to connect with some of you, our listeners, more than we were before. And so it has been enjoyable.
Yeah. Our friends told us it would be a great way to connect on a deeper level, a more personal level with all of our listeners, with all of you. And I know that I've enjoyed it. Mm. And babe, I've really enjoyed doing it with you as well.
Love doing it with you, baby.
We have a lot to talk about and time is short, so we're going to jump right in. Well, today we are inviting you guys, our listeners, into a very special place. And that place is a conversation with Ben and Jessa Seawald. And it's special because this has kind of become a defining, or maybe like a hallmark of our relationship.
Yeah.
Late night chats.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe better described as late
debates,
night debates.
Maybe.
I mean, arguments? Do we ever argue? We kind of.
You and Jess go back and forth. Ben and I sit there and listen to you. It's pretty entertaining.
And you both moderate us and tell us to calm down.
Yeah.
when we're getting too excited. A conversation with Ben and Jessa Seawald is very special to me because it essentially got me my wife.
That's true. Yeah. It's definitely a tradition to stay up remarkably late, like till 3 a.m. when we have to wake up at 6 a.m. for the airport or something to talk and talk and talk. And so it's always super fun with Ben and Jess, and they always have hummus and chips. And last time they even had pickled okra, which was a twist.
Yeah, that was
on their normal snacks.
I don't know if I was ready for that. The whole hummus thing started because I think this definitely was before we were married.
Yeah.
Just
when you would come to visit, right?
Yeah, I was starting to come to visit and I was just coming and visiting Ben and Jess. And I remember the one thing I said, well, I'll come and visit if, and I think I put a condition on it, and they had to have hummus and chips. And so I'm not kidding. Every single time, now we're married, you know, it's been nearly 4 years, and every time we go, I think without fail, either Ben or Jess will tell me, hey, we've got the hummus.
We've got the chips.
We've got the chips. And so they're stacked.
That is so true.
And so that just kind of literally feeds the fire of these late night conversations. But it's been special because being able to sit with them and engage with them, it really is one of those really special parts about visiting Arkansas, seeing the whole family. But I always plan for sleep deprivation.
Yes.
Because of a conversation with Ben and Jess.
Most definitely. So we would like to welcome to the podcast Ben and Jessa. So welcome, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
We're so excited to be on with you guys today.
We're excited to have you. And to make, what this is doing is essentially making our conversations official. Like, yes. We're going on the record.
Yeah, now. We are going on the record.
I'm glad.
So, whatever we say here.
Yeah, I'm glad a lot of our other conversations aren't on the record.
That's so funny.
But yeah, guys, thanks for coming on. I know it's a lot. We're entering that phase. You guys are more in that phase where it's like, hey, we need like 30 minutes or whatever to have a conversation. That's actually an ordeal when you have three kids, isn't it?
Oh yeah. It takes some planning. We had to, strategically plan to get Ivy down for her nap a little bit early. And then, we turn on a little cartoon for the boys so they're not tearing up the house while we're doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not opening the refrigerator and getting their own pickled okra out of the jar.
That's right.
That's Henry's favorite thing these days.
Oh, yeah.
How did you discover pickled okra? Let's just start there.
My family's just always loved pickles. And so we've tried pickled everything. Like, I mean, I'm talking everything, probably pickled eggs and whatever else is out there. We sample everything. And pickled okra was one that we tried, and it was an instant favorite, and we've been eating it for decades.
Yeah, I've known pickled okra since my childhood as well. My sisters especially loved it. So, yeah. Good stuff.
It is.
Well, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a little slimy, but it's
especially if there's like a little
good.
Yeah, I mean, especially if there's like a little spice to it. Sometimes.
Yes.
I love yes. the spicy pickled
Funny
okra.
Funny story with pickled okra was actually we had been at Ben's family's for a weekend, and they had bought a jar of pickled okra, and I was pregnant with Spurgeon, but I hadn't announced yet. And I was like craving the sour, and I sat down and ate like half the jar of okra. And after that, they were like, Jessa, we are wondering. So that was kind of my pregnancy announcement to Ben's family.
That's so funny.
I didn't really know. I was giving it away.
That's hilarious.
That's hilarious how women give away their pregnancies with stuff like that.
Eating lemons.
Craving the weirdest
That's
stuff.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's
well,
wild.
Yeah, guys, today we want to talk about setting an environment in your home for the kids and how that should demonstrate the beauty of Jesus and show how he has changed our lives. But let's just start hearing about your upbringings and what you enjoyed about them. And maybe more specifically, even how did your parents make your house fun and enjoyable place to be? And so, Ben, let's start with you because Jess and I know we have a pretty similar story in our upbringing. So we kind of want to hear from you first.
Yeah, so we had a lot of fun as a family growing up. My parents really tried to do fun things with us, even though at times we were financially strapped, we didn't have a whole lot of extra money to do things. Mm. I guess when you're raising seven kids, the finances can get a little limited.
Where are you in the seven, Ben?
I know that sound. I'm the oldest, so.
That's what I thought.
But yeah, seven kids. I say that to Jess's family, and they're like, oh, only seven, Whenever we were first coming around, oh, nice little family you guys have.
Yeah.
But anyways, but we found ways to do fun things that weren't necessarily big, expensive outings. One thing that we would do on Friday nights growing up was we had a family movie or game night, and my mom would often make homemade smoothies and throw some granola on top, and we would watch a movie together as a family. We'd usually have family devotions, and I'll talk more about that in a moment, but we would just do something fun together at least once a week, and that was just a good way for us to all connect and make some memories together. We play games, board games. And another thing that my dad would do from time to time is he would take some of the older ones out for maybe to go on a trip. I remember he took us up to Northwest Arkansas. At the time I didn't live up there all my life, but he took us to Northwest Arkansas for some Arkansas football games. And he takes us out for breakfasts and lunches here and there. He took me to work a lot growing up, so I got to spend lots of time with him. Just he would teach me his trade, and he did auto glass. And so, Yeah, we had lots of fun as a family growing up. And yeah, so we, another thing that we did though, is they would often try to, they wanted to teach us what they knew about God and pass on their faith to us as well. And not just do lighthearted fun things, but also teach us about life and the meaning of life and what's really important in the world. And so my parents were really faithful to sit down with us, usually in the evenings after supper, and my dad would just read the Bible to us. And he would usually make a few comments and explain the passage of scripture he was reading. Oftentimes we'd sing songs together. My mom plays guitar, so sometimes she'd pull out the guitar, and other times we'd just sing a cappella. And it wasn't anything fancy, but they just taught us the scripture. And there's such a blessing in that. I didn't really always appreciate it at the time, but looking back, it's just amazing. You know, I'm so thankful that they took the time to do that. So that's one thing that I would really encourage parents that are wanting to encourage their kids in their faith and teach them about the important thing. Take them to the Word of God, sit down with them. It doesn't have to be an hour long devotional time, but just read the Bible to them for a few minutes and try to just find a consistent pattern with that. And it's so important.
Yeah.
That's really good. Really excellent.
What about you, Jess? I know you and Ginger are going to have similar stories, but how did your parents like make a conscientious effort to have a fun, enjoyable environment growing up?
Well, I think there were just so many things that we did together as a family that were so much fun. Some of the things that stand out in my mind are sometimes we would get to take a family outing and go to like Wendy's and grab, you know, something off the dollar menu, like a Frosty or something like that. And it was so much fun. Just those, it didn't cost much, you know, just each person gets one thing off the dollar menu. And then we'd go to a park and we'd just ride our scooters and ride our bikes and just be hanging out and having a great time. I remember one time, or actually I think we did this a few times. My dad told us early on a Sunday morning, he said, if y'all get ready and eat breakfast in time, we will actually ride our bikes to church.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't very far. I mean, we were just a couple miles away from church, but we thought that was the coolest thing. You know, we roll up at church and our van's not there. And all of our friends are like, how did you get here? We're like, we came on our bikes. And they're like, wow, you know? Yeah. So just like little things like that, that we just thought were the coolest thing. I mean, we would just hop in the car and go down to a local creek in the summertime and splash and play and have a good time. My dad had the most tender feet. I always remember this. He'd always,
yes,
he'd have a hard time getting out there. He'd always be talking about how he needed water shoes. I don't know that he ever did he ever get
he
them?
Would wear his own like socks.
Yeah.
And then he would sometimes wear his shoes.
Yeah. Old tennis shoes
in the water. You're like, what are you doing?
Because he really wanted to be in on the action. You know, he wanted to get in there with us and have a good time. You know, they weren't just there to observe us having a good time. They wanted to be involved in that process and really, yes, make those memories with us. And so really, really grateful for that. And then like Ben was saying, just I'm very thankful for the spiritual emphasis in the home as well, with my mom really integrating like scripture memory into our school day. And that's something that I have these passages, these chapters of scripture in my heart and things that I can meditate on, things that have been a huge comfort to me all these years later, decades later. And I'm just so thankful for that emphasis that my mom placed on teaching us to memorize the scripture. And like Ben said, my dad would also read the scriptures to us in the evenings and, you know, cover to cover. He'd start in Genesis sometimes and just work his way through chapter by chapter all the way to the book of Revelation. I think we went through at least probably two or three times all the way. And so it's a huge blessing to have that emphasis as well. Mm-hmm.
It's so good. Yeah, I know a lot of those memories you're speaking of, it's really sweet just to think back on those times and just to see how our parents were so involved in our lives. And my parents always saying that we were their hobby, that they wanted to spend time with us. You know, when dad was done working, he wanted to come home and spend time with his kids. And that's something that, mm-hmm, I think, Jess, you and I are both really grateful for, just that example of parents who want to be engaged and involved in our lives as kids and not thinking, mm-hmm, that we're just a burden or too loud, or the house is, it gets too messy too quick, but just allowing us to make our own, yeah, it sounds illegal, but make our own money out of little paper we'd write up and we write up with like a piece of paper, we take a Sharpie and write up, you know, like all this fake cash that we were going to use for our store that we'd bring cans.
Yes.
For.
Wait, you guys were counterfeiters.
I haven't heard about this economy.
So,
Jeremy, I don't know about this.
I've never heard this story.
We would go to our local grocery store, which is right down the way from, you know, our bedroom or the kitchen. We go to our local grocery store our local grocery store was our pantry that looked like a grocery store. And we'd go in there and we'd buy cans and somebody would check us out. Or
who was the cashier?
It was great. It varied.
Oh, we all made money. We were all doing it.
But they would let us cut up paper and like make a mess. Of course, we had to clean up after we were done.
Pops would always be like going to the copier to like photocopy something or print some of his papers for work. And he'd be like, Michelle, we need more copy paper.
We're always
emptying out like the stash, and then we would empty out his drawer and his copier if there was nothing left. And so he's always having to refill and restock.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
Send him to Office Depot nearly every day.
Was this like a once or twice thing, or was this like a running economy?
It was running.
Oh no. Like, you know, once a month we would just, you know, make a new stash of cash.
That was great.
It sounds like the government.
And then my all-time favorite, though, was when we would cut out cell phones and cut out glasses. Like, somebody had glasses on in a magazine.
Oh, from magazines.
And we put it on cardboard. Yes. And mom and dad didn't care. Like, they would let us, you know, make a mess, like, kind of just do whatever with that. And it was, like, the best part of, you know, our day. But they would play with us. Like, they get that their own cell phone and, like, play along with it. It was just so fun.
Yes. Those are sweet memories. Very fun.
Yeah. I whenever Ginger talks about her childhood, it always sounds like a really fun childhood.
It was super fun.
It was a blast because we had like an entire sports team. Like, you know, we would play kickball for like 2 hours straight. We'd be like, come on, who wants to play kickball? And even if there were a few kids who didn't want to play, you still had, you know, 10 people and you could have two teams and you would have like whatever sport you wanted to play. I know my dad would play basketball with us a lot. We'd be outside on the concrete pad in the backyard playing basketball. And then for years, every Thursday and Friday night, we would be over at the local family center playing broom ball in our tennis shoes, running around on ice with, you know, ball and these big sticks.
I've heard about broom ball.
Sounds really safe.
That, to this day, is my favorite sport. And I tell Jer all the time, I wish I could play broom ball every week. Of course, right now I'm pregnant, and so that's not possible.
It sounds like
it is so fun.
It sounds like a recipe for broken bones.
Well,
I'm in my 30s now.
Broken bones. There were split heads. There were somebody got a chipped tooth. I think John chipped his tooth.
He did.
But
it's like football.
Nobody died.
Yeah,
that was something super fun. And my dad would get out there every week, twice a week. He'd get out there and he'd come home in the evening, late at night with us. And he'd be like, oh, Michelle, I'm so sore. I'm too old for this. She'd say, yeah, Jim Bob, you might want to slow down. And he'd say, and then the next week, the same thing. Oh, Michelle, I don't know if I can do this one more week. It's so fun, but I'm so sore.
Didn't Joe get like a black eye?
And he had those.
Oh, go ahead, Jess.
Oh, I was just going to say Pops had these knee pads that he got from, like, you know, Harbor Freight. These big old knee pads. And so he could run and then he would just drop down on his knees and slide.
All the way across the rink. You know, like halfway across the rink.
20 yards or something. Yeah, I mean, he would just fly across that court.
Knock into
that
those.
I have to see. I've never played broom ball before. Like, I've never gone on any of these outings. But next time they go, if Mr. Duggar is doing that, I'm going to have to go and see.
It's pretty entertaining.
Make sure he has his knee pads. I've got to see this.
We really should have had full pads. We should have had, you know, the elbow pads, knee pads, helmets. We probably should have had a lot more protection on there.
One thing I love hearing about this is just the way that your all's parents really were involved. Like, they didn't want to just watch you guys have fun. They wanted to have fun with you. And that's something that a friend of mine said, and he even said, you know, my dad was very busy growing up. His job kept him away a lot of the time, and he'd have to go on business trips and such. But we always had a good relationship with our dad. And part of that was whenever he got home from work, like he kept work at the office. Whenever he got home, he would lay all of that aside. He would tune that out, and he would focus on being present, on being there with his kids, asking them questions, being interested in their lives. And even though maybe he didn't spend as much time around them as some other dads, they had a great relationship with him because of that. He just, whenever he was there, he was there. And he, you know, he'd set aside all the distractions and focus on them. And they felt really special. Like he really cares about us. He really loves us. And he wants to know what we've been up to and what's going on in our lives. And so that, I think that's something to keep in mind. It's not just the quantity of time you spend with your kids. It's the quality of the time.
Ben, that's really an excellent point. And it's something that I know Ginger has told me before, and you guys mentioned, was how your parents always said, you know, we're going to make the kids our hobby.
Mm.
And so the kids didn't feel like they were in the way, or they weren't, you know, any fun, or the parents had to, like, you know, get away from them to enjoy life.
Right.
And that's how I really felt with my parents, too, and my upbringing. Every Monday, because my dad was a pastor, and so a lot of pastors will sometimes take Mondays off instead of Saturday because, you know, the weekend is their busiest time. And so leading up to Sunday, they're preparing the sermons and all this stuff. So Saturday's super crunch time. And so we would take off on Mondays, and there are some advantages and disadvantages. One disadvantage was a lot of stuff was closed. One advantage, though, is whenever we went anywhere, there was like no lines, you know, because it was everybody's, the start of everybody's work week.
Yeah.
Nice.
But my parents, what they would do on Mondays is, so I had my brother, my sister, and me. I'm the youngest. My sister's the oldest. My brother's in the middle. And we're like radically different people. And so we always wanted to do different stuff. And so sometimes we couldn't decide what to, because all I wanted to do was go to the soccer field and play soccer. And my parents are trying to say, like, well, we have to do something as a family. What do we do on our day off? And so we would rotate. And it was like, okay, you know, Val, it's your turn to pick this week what we're doing. And then Chuck would get the next week, and then I'd get the next week. And so we'd actually get to pick what we do as a family. And I just remember those days. I mean, Mondays, it's just indelibly imprinted upon my heart is those were enjoyable days.
Mm.
Once we finally got done arguing what we were going to do, they were enjoyable days because we could never decide, you know. But I just remember my parents' emphasis was us.
Mm.
Like they really cared about us. And that was really special. And guys, I know that you have been very intentional about creating a fun space for the boys and now for little Ivy at your home. And so let's talk about that. What are some of the decisions that you've made? I remember you guys very purposely kind of pulled back on the videos and the movies and obviously, you know, still letting your kids engage on those things, but you made a real conscientious effort to have your kids engaging in the world around them. So I want to talk about that. I want to chat about that. Tell us about the pranks, because you guys are good at pranks. Tell us about the projects, because you guys are good at projects. Tell us about all the craziness, but how you've just kind of intentionally created a fun space for your three kids.
Yeah, well, we wanted them to be more creative and have opportunities to use their hands and use their minds, not just passively watching, you know, TV all the time. We went through a phase where we were relying on that a little too heavily. We thought, not that it's wrong, we still let them watch cartoons from time to time, but we're trying to be more intentional about, you know, are there crafts that they can do, you know, Play-Doh. And sometimes Spurgeon just sits at the table and we give him some little kid kind of safe scissors. And he just cuts paper and colors on it. And he makes these creations. And he tends to be more creative when, you know, we're giving him the tools and saying, Spurgeon, you know, what do you want to make? And really celebrating when he and Henry do use their hands and their minds and be creative. And something that Jess has been really good about is sending them outside. We have a little backyard, and we've tried to make that a really fun environment where they want to be outside and they want to be out there using their imaginations, digging in the dirt, climbing around on things. And so, yeah, Jessa actually built them a treehouse in our backyard. I didn't help her at all except for carrying a few boards. It's amazing.
For the listeners, y'all have to check this out. They, Ben and Jess, have a YouTube channel, but on there, it's just incredible. You can see this masterful design that Jessa came up with.
And she didn't
literally
have a
just
kit.
Got all this. No kit, guys. It's not like one of those you go buy and then you put together. It is lumber. And she just like puts together this amazing playground that's just a dream for kids. So
yeah,
I'll have to check that out. It's pretty incredible.
It's
She's really gifted.
And we've tried to get the boys things that make them want to be outside too. Recently, one Sunday afternoon, we got some water guns and we just went outside as a family. And I said, Jessa, you have to be out here too. You can't just observe. You've got to be involved. And we had a family water gun fight.
It was so fun.
Yeah. And so things like that, and anything we can do that can make them just really enjoy being outside. And we try to get out there with them from time to time. The other night we had a little, we got a little fire pit and we had a little hot dog and s'more roast out in our backyard. And so they had fun with that. Before we did that, yeah, we played a little prank.
Tell us about this prank.
We rummaged around digging for grubs, you know, quote unquote grubs. And what I had done is I'd taken some gummy worms and rolled them in cocoa powder so you couldn't tell they were gummy worms. And then I hid them outside while Jessa distracted the boys. And we'd been watching some Survivor shows and just like, you know, having to eat like worms and grubs in the wild just to stay alive, you know. And so the boys had this context in their minds. And so I say, come on, boys, let's go see if we can find some in our backyard. And so, yeah, I went to the base of this tree and I moved some leaves and there's one of these grubs. And I just pick it up and I show them and I take a bite. And of course, I played it up a little bit. And so it's funny. We have a whole YouTube video of it, but it's
Henry's,
something that they.
Henry's face.
Oh, yeah.
Henry's face said it all. I think, watching that, it was just, I was laughing. It was so funny because Henry was just so stunned. He was like, Dad's eating? Like, he just did not know what was going on. Like, he's eating a grub. Like, he just would not touch it.
Yes.
Would not get near it. And he was so disturbed that you were doing that.
I had to show them afterwards, of course. These are just gummy worms.
The whole process.
This is how I made them look like this.
It's so great.
That's hilarious, but it is really, it's cool because you're engaging them and they're like exploring their world with you.
Yep. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we'll still just sit down and watch a movie together. There's nothing wrong with that. And we'll pop some popcorn,
sure.
But anything that we can do together. And especially if we're interacting with one another, we really enjoy that.
Yeah. So, Jerry Seinfeld is one of our favorite comedians. He has a skit where he talks about how parents talk to their kids. And he says, for kids, everything is up. Hurry up. Let me stay up. You know, life is up. It's about going, moving. Mm-hmm. And then he hilariously kind of does the parents and it's, you know, it's calm down, slow down, come down here, sit down, put that down. And it's hilarious because it's true, you know. For the kids, everything is about going and doing and being active and engaging. And sometimes as adults, we all just kind of want it to stop and slow down.
Yeah.
But we don't always want to be telling our kids no and stop it and then not give them options for what they should do. How have you guys engaged with the kids? How have you pursued them and taken an interest in enjoying them? And how have you given them options? So it's not just don't do this, but it is, you know, go and do this.
Well, it definitely does take some thought and some planning. And it's one thing that we've been helped by is talking to other parents that are in our life stage, or maybe their kids have already left the house, but they still remember ideas and ways that they kept their kids engaged and did fun things together. So anytime we have, you know, another family over or we're spending time together, it's a great opportunity to ask them, hey, how do you guys have fun as a family? What are some ideas that you have? And we've learned a lot from others in that way. And yeah, just being intentional to think, you know, what are some creative ways that we can get their energy out, because they do have a lot of energy. Something that has been helpful for us is just sending them outside and just letting them run around. And sometimes we'll even tell them, listen, if you come inside, it's nap time. So it's up to you. Do you want to come inside and have a nap, or do you want to stay outside and play longer? And they'll be like, okay, we'll stay outside. And so if that can give us a break sometimes, if we do need a break, because there's times when as a parent, you just need a break. And so it is nice to be able to just get them doing something where hopefully they can expend some energy, and yeah, that can be helpful, but it's good to do that with them too. So sometimes you just gotta maybe drink a little cup of coffee or something and spend some time. So
you're giving your kids coffee, is that what you're saying?
I know they want decaf, to drink it, decaf. Right? Yeah.
One thing I like to do with the boys, if they need to get a little extra energy out before bedtime, is we'll wrestle. So I'll turn on some good movie soundtracks that are kind of energetic or dramatic, and we'll just wrestle on the floor and, you know, growl and run at each other. And anyways, they really enjoy that. I can't do that every night because sometimes I just don't have the energy, but it's fun though. They really enjoy that.
That's great. Yeah, I'm sure Ivy enjoys watching all of this go down and probably tries to get in on it as well.
Oh, she does. She tries to get right in the middle of the action. It's yeah. Pretty cute.
She's so, so cute. That's awesome, guys. So I think just, yeah, think being creative and giving your kids options for things to do, and not, because they don't have to be bored. Like, they don't have to just be sitting around doing nothing. But if they're not watching TV, or if they're not, you know, doing something on the phone, but to be able to be creative and to engage your kids and even see what they enjoy. Is that something you've noticed, like, Henry and Spurgeon now at these ages where they can communicate, and just seeing what they like to do and kind of just letting them explore more so, like if Henry's all into trucks or Spurgeon's into, as you said, going and finding grubs or whatever it may be, like just what are like finding their hobbies and encouraging them in that.
Yeah, I think sometimes there's even opportunities for us as parents to step out of our own comfort zone and do things that we may or may not just love doing, but do it for the sake of the kids, because you never know like what things your kids may love. And so something that like we love being out in nature and all of that, but something that Ben doesn't really care for is camping, like as far as like staying overnight in a tent. Yeah. But Spurgeon thought this would be so epic to be overnight in a tent. And so to see the joy in Spurgeon's face of having that experience, Ben spent the night in a tent with Spurgeon.
Wow.
And Spurgeon just thought that was the greatest thing, and it was so fun. And so I think sometimes like that, you know, you're making memories together and it becomes fun because you're seeing the joy that it brings to your children, and you're making memories together. And so I think it's good as parents to kind of think outside of that box of like, what do I like to do? Like, it is great to bring your kids into things that you enjoy doing, but it's also great to explore a lot of things that maybe you haven't done as much of, because you never know what things your kids are going to grab onto and just love doing.
Yeah. And, you know, once they're grown and gone, I don't think you'll regret having gotten out of your comfort zone and gotten dirty or slept in a tent or whatever. Because just for the sake of your kids, because they love to do that and making those memories together. So I would encourage parents, be students of your children. Just as, you know, when you're getting to know your spouse, like when you're first getting to know that special someone, you are aware of, what does this person love? What are their interests? How can I, you know, do this with them, or get them that special thing that they're so interested in, or whatever. Well, do that for your children as well. Be aware and observing what they are enjoying, what they love to do, and then, you know, encourage that and get involved with them. And that just shows them that you really care about them and that you really love them.
That's awesome. I like that. Be students of your kids. That's excellent. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. See, it really reflects, it sounds like a delightful environment to be in, doesn't it?
Most definitely. Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you, as kids, you know, here's the thing, the four of us, three different households, grew up and really enjoyed our homes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we got the sense that our parents enjoyed us. And our homes were peace-filled, and they were places. I that word delightful just keeps coming to my mind. I mean, it was like a delightful mm-hmm. place to be. You wanted mm-hmm. to be home. And guys, I want us to talk about how this is a beautiful demonstration of the reality of the gospel. And here's what I mean. I mean, we all know Galatians chapter 5. Mm-hmm. Talking about the fruit of the spirit versus the fruit of the flesh. And I just want to read this text because really our homes should be a reflection of how Jesus has changed us.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of our listeners will know this. Some might not. But listen to this. This is Paul wrote a letter to a church, and he said this, Galatians 5:16. I say, walk by the spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. Then he says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And when we read that, it doesn't sound pleasant. Mm. It sounds like a place we want to run from.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, there's a lot of homes where the kids can't wait to turn 18 and get out. Because it's like, man, this is just a divisive place. There's strife. There's anger. But then listen to this. This is verse 22, and it's just a beautiful contrast. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And then these words, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So Ben and Jess, let's just talk about how our homes, and we're not perfect, but how the culture and atmosphere of our homes really should be in lockstep with the confession of our mouths that we love Jesus and Jesus lives in us, and how the culture should follow suit as a demonstration of the fruit of the Spirit of God living in us.
Mm. That's so good. Those verses are very relevant. They are relevant to our family life. When our hearts are changed by the gospel, and when we come to see the way that God has loved us, in spite of how undeserving we have been, it changes us, and we want to love others as a result. We become grateful people that we have been shown such grace and such forgiveness as we have been shown in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, as he came and he lived and died for others, so that they could be saved. And so that changes us when we believe that. And that as the Spirit of God comes and lives within us, he changes us. And especially as we're, you know, hopefully in the fellowship of a good, healthy church, and we're reading the Bible, and we're saying, you know, how can I love God more? And as we seek to love him more, this text guides us even, you know, the Spirit of God is going to be working in our lives, love and and peace and self-control. And that affects our families. That affects those around us. And those around us, that gives us opportunity to express our love for God and our thankfulness to God by loving others.
Mm. Yeah.
That's good. One of the chief ways that we love God is we love those people that he's put in our lives, and right. and starting with our family. And family can be hard to love sometimes. You know, we live life with these imperfect people and you see all of the imperfections and it's hard a lot of times. And that's when we have to, as Christians, remind ourselves of how God has loved us in spite of all of our mm-hmm. imperfections. And there's something about that that just drives us and motivates us out of such gratitude to extend patience and grace to others whenever they're getting on our nerves, whenever they're hard to get along with, and really to be focused on them and how we can make sacrifices as Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And how can we make sacrifices for those around us, even in small ways, to love them in return?
I agree. I think there are so many ways that I just saw my parents display those fruits of the Spirit. I mean, I think of patience. I think my mom is probably the most patient person I have ever met. With just, you know, 1,000 different things going on around her constantly, just keeping her calm, maintaining her cool. And I know that that's something that the Holy Spirit worked in her life, because there was a time when I was really young, when I remember she would be more frustrated or more, you know, on edge or things like that. And we were doing a family devotion one day, and she was reading the Bible, and she came across in our study on anger, these verses that said, you know, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, and a soft answer turns away anger, but harsh words stir up contention and strife. And so as she read that to us, she just started crying, and she's like, you know, kids, I've blown it, and I keep using harsh words, and I don't want to be this kind of mom. Like, I don't want you to see this in me and think that this is okay and normal. Like, this is not what God desires my reaction or my response to be. And she apologized to us kids. I think that's really, really key, because our parents are human. And sometimes parents think like, you know, I'm just being firm. I'm just laying down the law. I'm trying to show them who's boss. But whenever kids see humility in their parents and a willingness to admit, you know what, I blew it. I got angry and I was using harsh words, and I'm sorry for that. My response was not appropriate. My mom and dad do this multiple times whenever they've lost their cool. And it really causes you to respect them so much more. Our kids are not blind to our failures. They see mm-hmm. those things. And so we may feel like we can just pass over that or like, you know, forget about it, but they don't. And those things, I feel like, can really create a barrier in that parent-child relationship if there's not humility and willingness to admit when you're wrong. And one mm-hmm. other thing that really stood out to me was the way in which my mom and dad, but particularly my mom, would really, when she would be trying to address a heart issue that she saw in me, it was always out of care for me and concern for me. And she wouldn't ever approach me with this, you really embarrassed me when you did that, or imagine how that made me feel, or like shaming me because of, you know, it made her look like a bad mom. But it was always, you know, Jessa, I care about you, and I want you to have a right relationship with other people, and I want you to have a right relationship with God. And it was that care and concern for my soul that I would always hear and see in her whenever she would have to address, you know, a struggle that I was going through, or, you know, a bad attitude or something like that. Mm. And so I'm just so grateful for those two things, especially.
Yeah. That love really for others, that sacrificial love, and that comes from God. That's something, you know, it's easy to love those who are lovable, who are easy to get along with. You know, everybody has friends in that way, but in those that are hard to love, that's where we need God's help. That's where we need that supernatural love from God. And that's what the Holy Spirit gives us.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, because we do want our homes to be Spirit-filled environments that demonstrate the reality of our faith. And because parents can talk a lot, But if they don't walk the walk, their kids are definitely professional hypocrisy detectives. And so you can see, like, you can see through the parents. And so that is good. Humility and asking when asking for forgiveness, too, even when we as parents have blown it. That's such a good point, because they know when we're putting on a show.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. So, guys, this conversation, I mean, we could keep talking. It's so helpful. And it really is, you know, it's a beautiful demonstration of the effect of the gospel when we have these homes that are spirit-filled. And so let me just kind of bring it to a conclusion, just saying for our listeners, I mean, Ben, Jessa, me and Ginger, we're not experts. I mean, our kids are young, right?
Oh, yeah.
But and we've grown up in homes that really demonstrated these things very well. But the thing we're striving for is we want to walk closely with Christ, because the more that Jesus changes us and the more influenced we are by his Spirit, the more we will reflect the fruit of the Spirit, which is this supernatural production in our hearts, which then reflects itself to our families. And I know, you know, as our listeners tune in, we all want to grow up in a home that is patient, that is kind, that is ruled by love and joy and peace. And Jesus gives us the way to do that. And it's through the hope of the gospel that as we give our lives over to him, he becomes the dominant influence in us, producing not the fruit of our flesh, but the fruit of his Spirit. Guys, it's so encouraging talking with you. I mean, we get these conversations late into the night.
Yes, and we always love it.
Oh, man, we look forward to it. Now we've kind of like made it official. We've gone on record.
There you go.
But guys, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for talking. Thanks for sharing little parts of your life with us. We don't take that for granted. We really appreciate it. And I know our listeners do as well.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. You guys are such a blessing and encouragement to us, and we've learned so much from you guys, and we're often seeking advice from you all. So it's been a pleasure just visiting with you guys today.
Oh, well, guys, thanks so much. And maybe we'll have to have you guys back on soon.
We'd love that.
Well, awesome. Well, guys, thanks for sitting with us today on the Hope We Hold podcast. If you were encouraged by the conversation, feel free to write in contact@hopewehold.com, rate and review. Also, share your hope story with us on social media. You can tag us on Twitter or Instagram @hopewehold. Use the hashtag #OurHopeStory and share the hope you have in Jesus. And maybe we'll be able to share that with our listeners on the show. So again, thanks for sitting with us today on the Hope We Hold podcast. We trust that you were encouraged.
And it is our hope that your hope would be in Christ alone.